WEEI Afternoons. We've spent some time talking about the Boston Red Sox. We'll get back to them because it is a big series with a big-ish young player joining the roster, because I still continue to find the password, Justinkson Garcia, who's been promoted to the Red Sox, listed at 6'160", which...
I also found that. He's not in the lineup tonight, though, so
no,
okay.
He's not in the lineup, but when you work next to somebody who's 6'5", 6'4", and 250, we'll
250,
say.
250, yeah. Ish.
That made him less of a hoss, but I'm still excited to see him. Anyway, also down in New York or New Jersey tonight, MetLife Stadium, the preseason finale, which definitely does feel a little more exciting for the home team because Jackson Dart, I believe, is going to be on the field. Jackson Dart is the future. Jackson Dart's had some buzz and making plays this summer. The Patriots probably not going to see Drake May or starters or anything like that. But what do we want to see, Ted Johnson? If I asked you, like, and I know depth is an issue for you, and some of the guys that are replaying are going to be depth guys. You asked Curran about linebacker, for example. Like, hey, if Robert Spillane gets hurt, who's going to be the middle linebacker on this football team?
Yeah.
What are some of the things you're going to be watching for tonight?
I'm going to be watching for Kyle Duggar. How's he play? What's he look like? You know, Anfernee Jennings. These are all bubble guys or guys that are rumored to be, you know, traded. You know, Javon Baker, bubble guy. What's he look like? I'm curious about the kind of the safety position in general. Del Pettis, Marcus Epps, who out of those two? I don't think they'll keep both, so... Who of those two guys, how do they look? I'm curious, even though it's just not sexy to talk about depth, but just, you know, who's going to back up Robert Spillane? Marte Mapu is on the depth chart behind Robert Spillane. Is he playing inside linebacker? I'd be curious. And what does he look like? Jeremiah Farms, he's going into his third year. He's a defensive end. Does he get squeezed out because they got some young guys they drafted at his position? And then maybe the kicking kind of – there's a little bit of a kicking battle because I think they would be okay cutting their sixth-rounder kicker, Andy Burgalis, if they think Parker Romo is going to be better. So I'll be curious to watch that. Those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to. Then there's Jamichael Hasties, who I thought kind of flashed in last week's game. Do they keep four running backs? And if so, is that your fourth guy? So those are some of the things. Otherwise – the offensive line, it really kind of – I think all the starters for offensive line won't play.
Right.
So it's hard to really glean too much from the offensive line, but those are some of the storylines.
Fitzy, the kicker situation, you brought it up to Curran. And, Ted, I don't know how happy they'll be to cut the rookie kicker. Not happy, maybe that's the wrong word. But, you know, we're talking about last year's rookie class being gone, basically, depending on how cuts come down, that it's just Drake May. And then all of a sudden you draft yet another kicker and you immediately cut him. That just kind of adds to that whole narrative about, are the draft issues ongoing? You know, did we not stop that? Have we not fixed that? And that's
I think they would keep a guy over, because if that's the case, sorry to interrupt, Andy, but if you're a player and it's clear to everyone in the room that Parker Romo, the kid that they didn't draft, is a better option than the kicker they did draft, yet they keep the kicker they drafted?
Nope.
Bad signal to send to your team.
Here's what you do. It's what I predicted. Pat on the back, victory lap time about a month ago for Jalen Polk. I kind of expected him to end up on IR because that's the way you save face. You get us. No, we didn't cut our second round pick in his second season. You remember he was on IR that year, and then we cut him the third year. It wouldn't stun me if the kicker, after tonight's game, looked like he had a leg injury or something, and Borregales goes on IR for
probably
the year.
Probably so.
That's how
he'd
I think
he'd be the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah, you save face. But Fitzy, are you seem very interested in the kicking battle. Do you have, is it Parker Romo? Not John Parker Romo, but obviously Parker Romo.
Yeah, you drop the name, you get better at kicking. He was the guy they brought in last year to back up and or put a challenge to Joey Sly once he started struggling. I would like them to just find one, stick with one. A lot of teams grab one and hold on to them for a long time. Of course, Chad Ryland, as soon as they cut bait with him, went out to Arizona and became excellent. Just find your kicker and stick with him. You don't need to draft another one, you know, ditching Nick Folk the way they did. Just find a freaking kicker. So I'm actually rooting for Parker Romo to make whatever hit kicks he gets tonight, drop the ball in the appropriate drop zone, loading zone, landing zone, whatever the hell you call it on his kickoffs, and just be done with it. And I would not be surprised at all if Jalen Polk has to move over in the Foxborough Flu Clinic for Andy Borgalis.
Ted, you brought up Kyle Duggar as somebody that will be watching. We just talked to Tommy Curran. He had a pretty pretty strong opinion of how things are going to play out for Kyle Duggar.
What do you think ultimately happens with Kyle Duggar here in the next week?
I imagine they move on from him because, you know, you have the cap space to take the cap hit now. You can trade him and try and see if someone will take on his, I believe, $9 million salary, or if you can offset that salary a little bit and get somebody to give you a draft pick, and maybe they'll take three and you can take six. But to me, you have to cut bait. It's a four-year, $58 million contract. There's a $15 million cap hit this year if he stays on the team. And if you release him, you're going to take $14 million in dead money, but at least you're going to duck the long-term ramifications. So you have the room to admit your mistake now and take the cap hit and move on. Why is he a mistake? I don't know. I don't think he's a horrible player. He's certainly not a $15 million player. There are a lot of panic buys perpetrated by Elliott Wolf last year when he realized nobody wanted to come here as a free agent, and they had a oodle of guys who were coming up with contracts. So they said, let's just vomit this money out on all these players. And by and large, they were stupid moves.
Tough time to be Elliott Wolf.
He's taking a bludgeoning.
Between his draft picks, his contracts.
I mean, that's why it's hard to take him serious when he talks. It's kind of like, you know, it's Charlie Brown's teacher when he talks, because I don't think he has any power.
Is he gone already? Is it a foregone conclusion?
No.
You think he stays?
Yeah.
And you think he's kind of the eyes and ears of the ownership?
Oh yes. They have them all over there. There's guys that are still there that used to drive Pintos when I first was drafted, and you see them driving around in Range Rovers now. You know they've been taken care of. They are in the circle of trust. The Crafts don't trust a lot of people, but Elliott Wolf is one of them that he trusts. He will go back and report whatever is said in the pertinent meetings and know it will be it won't be filtered.
Is this team good enough, Fitzy, to be cut? Because I agree with Tom Curran. I don't think Kyle Duggar is a horrific football player, right? Without talent, is this team good enough to be letting go of people that have some competitive NFL talent?
I don't understand why. The guy is not a top five or a top 10 safety, but he's good enough to play in the NFL. Are any of your other safeties, save for Jabril Peppers, so much more demonstrably better than Kyle Duggar, who's entering his, sixth season in the NFL? So he should be sort of in the middle or close to the tail end of his prime, probably just right smack in the middle. Are they good enough to get rid of him? I think it seems like a mistake. I honestly do.
That's where I push back on Tom to just think, what's if you're cutting him, then you're saying the only reason you would cut him is if you thought you had better options there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think that they have better, that there's players that are better than him. So if you're going to take the cap hit, why not pay him anyway? Is he a bad influence behind the scenes? Is he bringing the younger guys down? If he's not, I think you're better off keeping him.
Me too. I would have him on my – I used to do an exercise for Patriots Football Weekly where it was dumb, and I don't know why I started doing it. But I would rank the roster 1 to 90 this time of year. Literally just one, not based on position or anything, but like how good you are at your job. And I think if you do that, if you just rank the roster of Patriots players, Kyle Duggar is in the top 53 players that you would list. You can't find 53 guys that are better NFL players. Now, fit and scheme and all these other things we talk about, but even if it's just have an athlete to cover kicks, you can't tell me he'd be a good he wouldn't be a good core four special teams guy, right? And I know you don't usually pay $15 million for a core four special teams backup safety, but are we trying to put the best 53 guys on the football field?
That's what you would think, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, does he push back? I mean, some guys, when you get paid like that, you're like, wait, special teams? I don't do special teams. I haven't heard any report that would say that he is not above doing special teams. I think that's where we got to get value out of him by at least playing him on special teams. And I would think he would be just as good as who would replace him as the last safety anyway on special teams anyway. So I just don't understand, unless he's a bad influence, the downside of not keeping him.
Fitzy, have you seen that anywhere? I know you scour the social medias and all that. Have you seen any even partial allusions to Kyle Duggar is a bad teammate or pain
Zero.
In the ass? Or,
Zero.
So the more we talk about this, it kind of makes no sense to get rid of Kyle Duggar.
Is this just like, are they literally just, did somebody come up? I don't know. Maybe this is a stretch deal where they live and die by numerics and analytics, and he says he's just not worth the money. Like, but you've got plenty. It's not really going to hurt you much. Like,
and he costs the same either way. He's going to be around $14 to $15 million, whether you have him or you don't. I just think it would be a shame for a football team that is trying to build something to Jabril Peppers did something to his ankle. He's going to miss 6 weeks. And then you're like, huh, you know who wouldn't be bad right now? Kyle Duggar. We could give him some reps rotationally right now in the back end because of the other thing you've brought up, Ted, is like this idea of if you have the stank of the previous regime coaching staff scheme, they smell it and they want to wash it off. They want to get rid of it. They want, is that it? Is it he's part of the old regime?
It would probably be the first thing I would think of is why they're maybe such a hurry to get him out of here, because that there is a clear pattern of guys letting go of guys that were here previously
and captains. He was a captain, I believe, a couple years ago.
He was.
So he's a captain. He's a former scheme fit, player fit, stank fit. And you're going to run him out of town. I don't know. The more we talk about this, the more it doesn't make sense to me to cut him.
Yeah, there's a lot. Does it make sense to cut? I mean, David Andrews. It makes sense to cut a lot of the guys. No, Jonathan Jones that were. There were, you know, decent players here for this team.
You're right. I would kind of take David Andrews right now. I would kind of take Jonathan Jones right now.
The only reason I would, you can look back and say, I mean, there's, you look at Juwan Bentley, David Andrews, both cut. Juwan Bentley has not been picked up by another NFL team. David Andrews has lost like 50 pounds since he retired. So that indicates that, you know what, they were probably, the fact that David Andrews looked like he already had 1 foot into the retirement door is probably supports that was probably a good decision, though.
I did want to touch on the quarterback position. Obviously, it's not Drake May. But you've been questioning the quarterback position in terms of, well, who's actually the best backup quarterback based on the summer? Is it Woldridge? Not Orlando, but Ben. Or is it Dobbs? How do you, like, we're going to see those guys tonight. You're going to have your,
you know what? That's probably the best thing to watch for.
Right.
I'm curious about the backup quarterback position.
And it's easy to watch.
It's the last game that, for the last time this summer, that we will talk about backup quarterbacks, and I'm for it for at least another few days.
And I know at one point Mike Vrabel was asked, is Dobbs the backup, or is there still a competition going on? And he made it clear that Dobbs is the backup quarterback and Woldridge is the third, and I don't know if he'll be on the practice squad. No. Whatever. But if Dobbs is actually this is where I get weirded out by the fear of playing guys and injuries and all of that. So if Dobbs is the real backup quarterback, shouldn't Woolridge play most of the game? Because you don't want your backup quarterback to be hurt. Because if you lose your backup quarterback, now you're SOL.
My guess is he does. My guess is that Woolridge plays most of the game. I bet you he starts and finishes it. If I had to
guess. Like he pulls an Etling like from years ago.
That would intrigue me. Like, well, that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, to see that kid just go out there, start a game in New York against the Giants, maybe against Jackson Dart on the other side of the field, see how he reacts to it. That could be something that defines what the league looks at him as for the next few years, as a backup, as a journeyman, whatever he ends up being.
Yeah, perhaps. You know, it's the third preseason game, so
no, I know.
To get too worked up about
the big lights.
The value in Josh Dobbs, even if Ben Woolridge outperformed Josh Dobbs this training camp, he was never going to be the backup because they want an established veteran who will be a mentor and will help the Drake May. And Ben Woolridge is not that guy, so he doesn't fit that profile. So Josh Dobbs does. So no matter how bad he played in preseason, he's always going to be the backup.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting topic for us to address, and I don't know if by that time we'll have time. But that's a good Brian Hoyer question because he's lived that life from all angles of the quarterback room, right? Like the backup, the veteran, the starter, the Johnny Manziel years.
I'm curious if they come up to him and say, hey, this is what we want from you, or is it expected without saying anything? I'm just curious. Do coaches come up and say, hey, we want you, you know what, you're going to be a backup. Sorry, you're not competing for the starting job. And they tell you what they want and from a leadership standpoint with the young guy, or is it just kind of implied?
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff matters in culture. When you're setting a culture, a new culture, and you haven't won anything and you haven't coached here, and you know, it might be different if you were 3 years in and you just came off a division title and a deep playoff run. I'm sure. Did you ever deal with that where roles were so specifically defined? Like, you're really brought in to mentor this kid, or you're really brought in to back up this guy. And it's like, Well, yeah, I mean, I know I might look like the backup, but what if I have a really good August? Could I be the starter?
If they didn't ask me to take pay cuts, I would have mentored young guys. But no, they asked me to take pay cuts. I'm like, no, I'm good. Yes, you guys want me to mentor too? You didn't pay me enough for that. You know what's interesting real quick is you're talking about paying, why pay Kyle Duggar, who's got the second biggest cap hit on the team, to back up? And you could say, you know what? Look at what Atlanta's doing. They're paying Kirk Cousins, almost $50 million to back up a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, we can't say his last name according to the Chiron on, was that NFL Network? They misspelled it a little. It's Penix.
CBS Atlanta, yeah.
No, learn his name because I think he's going to be a good one.
You like him?
I'm a huge Michael Penix fan. Huge.
Huge Penix.
Wasn't he your second quarterback in the draft, Ted?
That was who I wanted. Jaden Daniels 1, Michael Penix 2, and then Drake May was my 3rd.
Yeah, so it all worked out. You got the 3rd, their 3rd, everybody's 3rd. 617-779-7937. Patriots play the preseason finale tonight. Duggar, Jennings, old guys in the spotlight, young guys in the spotlight trying to win jobs. But up next, we got to talk a little baseball. Our buddy Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, will tell us why the password was brought up, what his role will be, and much more as the Red Sox and Yankees get ready to battle down in New York. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.